16 years ago, in the Halloween season, moviegoers watched a teenage babysitter played by Jamie Lee Curtis protect herself against a psychotic murderer. John Carpenter's movie Halloween was a low-budget thriller that was a huge box office success. So successful that Hollywood couldn't resist going back for 5 sequels, although Carpenter lost interest after producing Halloween's 2 and 3. Carpenter's other films include Escape from New York, the remake of The Thing, and Memoirs of an Invisible Man. Terry Gross spoke with John Carpenter in 1988.
I think in a lot of ways Halloween was an exercise in building suspense. And let me just play a short clip from the movie. This is a clip of Jamie Lee Curtis. And by the way, this is her first really big film role. And in the credits, it says, "Introducing Jamie Lee Curtis." The way the story builds is, first she thinks maybe that somebody's following her, and by the end she knows it's true and that she's being attacked. So here she is, running from house to house, screaming for help. Some of the things that you learned in making Halloween about how to make the audience nervous, how to get them worried about the character's well-being, how to build suspense?
Well, you first have to start with the story. You have to have a story that involves a certain amount of suspense in terms of the characters, the antagonist and the protagonist being on a collision course. Their destinies are going to cross. You know eventually that whatever represents evil in your film is going to have to rear its ugly head and come after you. And your job in a thriller like this is to get the audience to identify with the victim. And Jamie being our focus of identity, we can begin to feel her panic and running away from this kind of ultimate evil that's after her. And I think once you have that kind of a setup, well, you can then begin to build suspense in the audience. Now, suspense really simply means anxiety. The audience is anxious about what's going to be seen, what's going to be coming up. Whenever Jamie would walk into a dark room, perhaps, they'd say, "But don't go in there. Can't you go someplace else?" They're putting themselves into the character. They're trying to tell her to watch out. I think that's the primary idea in Halloween in terms of building suspense.
And the audience knows just a little bit more than the characters do about what's happening. So they know about the danger she's about to get into.
Well, in general, they know that he's out there, because they've known that since the beginning of the film. What they don't know is exactly where he is. So the audience is also waiting in suspense for, when is he going to jump out of the dark? I know it's going to come, because this is a horror film, and they always do this kind of thing, don't they? So now we're walking in a dark room. It's kind of dark in here. Well, now, where will he be? And the longer that you can wait and let the audience imagine where he might be, and then all of a sudden have him spring out, the more in suspense they will be.
You know, Ebert and Siskel, the film reviewers, have something that they call the idiot plot, that a lot of horror movies hinge on the main character doing something absurdly stupid. Like, for instance, the character's running, and they just slowly walk away with their back turned, where if they could have ran away really quickly if they were thinking. Do you think that there's a lot of idiot-type plots in suspense films, and is it easy to get around that?
Well, I think that what they're talking about is something that's done intentionally. For instance, in the Friday the 13th movies, the idiot plot was basically invented in order to get the audience to participate. Because if you have a teenager walking into a room, and they turn their back on the danger and wander through kind of innocently, the audience feels superior to the character, and they can start screaming, "You idiot, why don't you get out of there?" And in being superior to the characters, as soon as the incredibly evil and powerful boogeyman steps out, then they can laugh in derision and say, "Oh, I told you so, if you'd only listen to me." you would have it would have saved your life.
Have you seen the movies that came after Halloween that were in part inspired by it? Prom Night, Fright Night, the Friday the 13th movies?
I really didn't have the heart to see them. I've seen occasionally glance at them on television, but they... what bothers me about a lot of horror films is that I don't think they're made by people who have a feeling for the story they're telling. I would say to the audience that there are certain directors who are extremely committed to the genre they're working in, David Cronenberg and George Romero, as two examples. Those filmmakers who feel and have a personal point of view to express in this particular genre. A lot of the movies that copy other films are simply trying to utilize the technique without the heart. And in that sense, I wouldn't recommend them.
Terry Gross spoke with movie director John Carpenter in 1988. I'm Marty Moscowen, and this is Fresh Air.